There we go. Okay, so we're learning Perek Vav of Shmuel Beis. And this is a very, very exciting Perek. There's actually a very famous story that takes place at the end of this Perek, which is what we're up to. And just to briefly review what happened in the beginning of the Perek, so which we learned 2 weeks ago, because last week we didn't have a shiur, but 2 weeks ago we learned essentially of the return of the Arot. That David had gathered a lot of people with him to return the Aron to Klal Yisrael, and there was a major tragedy with the return of the Aron. They made the people that were bringing the Aron back made some mistakes. They put it on a wagon which they shouldn't have. They should have carried it, and we know in the end a fellow by the name of Uzzah. Right, so Uzzah was the one who was Uzzah and Achia were brothers, and Uzzah made the mistake of trying to catch the Aron as he saw it, you know, slipping and falling, and because of that, Hashem killed Uzzah on the spot. David panics, recognizes that, you know, he and maybe Bnei Yisrael as a whole are not quite ready for the full return of the Aron, and therefore David sends the Aron on a detour to the house of Oved Edom. Oved Edom Hagiti, and the Aron goes to Oved Edom Hagiti. Pasuk Yud Aleph tells us that it spends 3 months in his house, and the Pasuk says that they were blessed because of the presence of the Aron. Vayivorech Hashem es Oved Edom v'eskobeso. They were blessed. Oved Edom was blessed. His household was blessed because of the presence of the Aron. As we learned last week, Hashem wanted to send a message. This was the pshat of the Malbim, I believe, that Hashem wanted to send a message that the Aron itself doesn't kill. The Aron, just like the Aron can quote unquote kill, the Aron can bless. It's a matter of what you do with it and how you approach it. Okay, so the pasuk Yud Beis we ended off with last week, that they tell David that the Aron is doing well in Beis Oved Edom, and not just that, but he's blessed and his family is blessed. And David realizes, okay, now it's time. I see that, you know, we're in a good place. Now it's time to bring the Aron back from Oved Edom. And the pasuk ends, Vayelech David. David travels, of course, with a group of people. Vayal es Aron ha'elokim Beis Oved Edom. And he brings up the Aron from the house of Oved Edom, Ir David to Ir David, which is, of course, Yerushalayim, Besimcha. And he does it Besimcha. And that's a fateful word. We'll see. Pasuk Yud Gimel. This is what we're up to now. We're starting now new Psukim. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayihi ki tzadu nosei Aron Hashem shisha tzeodim, vayizbach shor umeri. So the Pasuk says that when those who carry the Aron, and right off the bat, that's a great thing to hear. Why? Because if you remember, one of the mistakes of the previous group of people that was transporting the Aron was that they did not carry it. Instead, they put it on a wagon. So here, right off the bat, we're doing better because we're talking about Nosei Aron Hashem. So there are people that are carrying it, which is the way it's supposed to be transported. Now, every six steps that they take, Shisha Tse'adim, six steps that they take, they bring Karbanos, Shor Umeri. Right, an ox, and Marie is some sort of a, I think I looked up a fatling. Okay, now it's not clear why exactly, excuse me, they're bringing Karbanos right now after the six steps. Why after six steps are they bringing Karbanos? So the Radak suggests that maybe Uzzah made his mistake and was killed after walking six steps. So therefore, once this new camp, this new group of people, walked six steps successfully, did not make any errors or any mistakes, did not get killed, that was cause for rejoicing, that was cause for celebration in and of itself. And that's why they brought Korbanos after the six steps. That's what the Radak suggests. he also quotes Chazal, who mentioned that those who carried the Aron felt no weight at all. And therefore, they realized that the Aron was really carrying itself, which is what we talked about last week a little bit, that the Aron essentially takes care of itself. and therefore they felt no weight. And maybe they really felt that after the six steps, and that's why they brought these karbanos after the six steps. Okay, either way they brought, yeah.
Does this have anything to do with what, when you carry the coffin and you stop after six or seven steps?
It's a good question. Yeah, I don't believe so, because that is we make seven stops, but it's not after any particular number of steps. Sometimes you walk more steps, sometimes less steps. It all depends on the distance between the hearse and the grave. You know, that just dictates how many steps you're taking each time. But it is seven stops, seven times that you're walking. but I don't believe it's related. I hear you. I hear what you're saying, that it sounds like a similar idea. But I don't believe it's related. The Malbim says that it sounds like they brought two karbanos, after every six steps. And the Malbim says that after six times six, so this was like 36, total karbanos, after all those cycles, then they brought seven cows and seven rams. And if you look, I think he quotes it, if I'm not mistaken, I don't remember, I think he quotes Divrei Hayomim, who says that, or maybe it's Chazal that said they brought these extra karbanos, and it added up to 42 karbanos. And the goal was to commemorate or to correlate to the Shem of Hashem, that's 42 letters. There's a Shem of Hashem that's 42 letters. And that was, of course, represented by the Aron. So therefore, they after all these steps, they take these, they brought all these karbanos, the seven cows and the seven rams. Okay. Now here we have the very dramatic and very important pasuk in Pasuk Yudalot. The David mecharker b'chol oz lifnei Hashem, and David is dancing. Right, the Mefarshim explained the mecharker, which is a strange word, but it basically in this context means a very vigorous type of dancing. B'chol oz, right, with all of his strength, lifnei Hashem, before Hashem, v'David chagur eifod bud, and David is wearing a linen apron. A linen apron. Now, this is very interesting. First of all, let's start with the end of the pasuk for a moment. What was this linen apron? So the Radak says it was like a beged kavod. It was a special beged that was worn for the occasion. This was a very joyous occasion that they were bringing the Aron back to Yerushalayim. So it's a cause for celebration. So this was a special garment that he was wearing. The Mitzvah stuff, it said it was modeled after the ephod of the Kohen Gadol. We know the word ephod from the Big Day Kohen Gadol. And this was something that was also unique for Ovdei Hashem. It was kind of like a rabbinic garb, so to speak, the ephod bad. In fact, he quotes a pasuk that we read earlier, I believe in Shmuel Aleph, that talks about Shmuel wearing an ephod bad. So we see this concept of an ephod bad is kind of like a religious or a spiritual or a rabbinic type of garb. And that's what David put it on. He put it on for this special occasion. Now, the Malbim says that this pasuk indicates David minimizing his own honor, his own kavod, for the kavod of Hashem in three distinct ways. Number one, begufa, with his body. Why? Because with David mecharker b'cholos, he was dancing with all of his might. Now again, normally, we're not used to seeing, presidents, kings dancing with all of their might. People that are dancing with all of their might, you assume they're not that significant. They're not that important. A king carries himself in a certain regal way, right? A president carries himself. He has to carry himself in a certain regal way. He can't just, kind of lose himself in the moment. And it sounds like here David was losing himself in the moment as he was dancing in front of the Aron, dancing lifnei Hashem. So number one, he minimized his own kavod with his guf, with his body. Number two, with his clothing, says the Malbim. How was David dressed? Chag or ephod bad? Where was his royal clothing? This wasn't what the king normally wore. David took off the regal royal clothing and he put on the rabbinic clothing. He put on, what all the rabbis were walking around with, like the yeshiva bachur. What they were walking around, that was the ephod bad. It was something special for Talmidei Chachamim, for Ovdei Hashem, but it was not what the king normally wore. So in a sense, he also lowered his own kavod through his clothing. And then finally, as we'll see in a couple of psukim, David is now mingling among the people. He's not dancing on the balcony of his palace. He came down with everyone else as the Aaron is approaching, and he's dancing with all of his might with everyone else, with all of the simple people, with everyone in the nation. Now, obviously, this is calculated, right? David realizes that this is the Aaron we're talking about. And that's why the Pasuk, as the Mefarshim emphasized, that's why the Pasuk says, Lifnei Hashem. He's dancing Lifnei Hashem because he recognizes, I'm dancing for the cover of the Aaron. I'm dancing for the cover of Hashem. That's why I'm minimizing my own cover. Okay. So that's the very important Pasuk. Now let's go to Pasuk Tesvav. V'David v'chol beis Yisrael ma'alim es Aron Hashem. Of course.
Is this all presumptuous that did Hashem give, you know, that the Melech has to have the kavod? He can't, you know, be, you know, is there something that David would know that he shouldn't be doing this? Or is,
good question. Yes, the answer is yes. David should know. He should know that he needs to carry himself in a certain way. And there are many halachos actually of kavod. There are many halachos of kavod of a Melech. You know, the concept that a Melech has to carry himself a certain way and has to you know, hold himself to a certain standard is a concept in halacha, is a concept from Chazal that the Melech is representing, he's the leader of the people, and therefore he has to have a certain stature and maintain that stature in the eyes of the people. So definitely it's something that is a, you know, a real concept and something that David should have known. Well, I shouldn't say should have known. He does know. He does know. And we'll see, he justifies his actions. Okay, so David and so Pasuk Tezvav says, David and all of the Jewish people, Kobeis Yisrael, I mean, this is everyone. And usually Kobeis Yisrael, I didn't see this in the Mefarshim here, but usually Kobeis Yisrael refers to not just the men. This is the men, the women, the children. This was like a big event. Ma'alim es Aron Hashem, they're bringing the Aron of Hashem back to Yerushalayim, Besrua, v'kol shofar. They're blowing the shofar. It's like they're blowing the trumpets. You know, the marching band is out. This was a big to do, a big event. Okay, Pasuk Tesvav. I'm sorry, Pasuk Tesayim. V'haya Aron Hashem ba'ir David. So now the Aron David goes out of Yerushalayim and is kind of dancing, like almost like a Hachnasa Sefer Torah, right? You're bringing the Sefer Torah back to the Sefer Torah to the shul. So you go out to greet the Sefer Torah and you bring it to the shul. So here too, he went out of Yerushalayim to greet the Aron, and now they're bringing the Aron back into Yerushalayim, close to Yerushalayim. And as it's coming into Yerushalayim, Michal bas Shaul nishkefa be'ara chalon. Michal, the daughter of Shaul, who we know is David's wife, is looking out the window. Vatera es hamelech David mefazes u'mecharker lifnei Hashem. And she sees David dancing. Now, mecharker we had before, right? What's mefazes? So, you know, different interpretations in the Mefarshim. Either it's repeated. It just means dancing again, but it's just repeated to show how much he was dancing. Maybe it was a different type of dancing. Targum Yonasan seems to say, he, in addition to dancing, he was also kind of singing, you know, the praises of Hashem. But mefazes u'mecharker lifnei Hashem vatives lo beliba. And in her heart, she lost respect for him. Vatibezla. He was disgraced in her heart. And she was embarrassed. Says the Radak, she was embarrassed. She's a princess. She's Shaul's daughter. This is how a king acts? Losing yourself among the simple people? Dancing like a meshugara? It's unbecoming. Even if it's for the Aron. It's unbecoming of a king. That's not how you act. So this was because of her upbringing. And the Malbim makes a very important point. The Malbim says that when she was looking out of the window, what does it say? She looked out the window. Vatera, what did she see? She saw only one thing. She didn't see the whole Hachnasas Sefer Torah. She didn't see the whole group gathering and bringing in the Aron. Vatera es hamelech David mefazes u'macharka lifnei Hashem. That's all she saw. Her perspective was limited. She didn't see the context. She just zoned in and saw David and what he was doing, and said, this is not appropriate. This is not appropriate. It's unbecoming a king. Look how my husband, look how the king is disgracing himself. And the Malbim says this was a major difference between the house of David and the house of Shaul, as we'll talk about a little bit more. This was because of her upbringing, right? In Shaul's house, and again, we don't find this. I mean, listen, we've learned through Shmuel Aleph in the beginning of Shmuel Beis right now. We didn't find too much of an emphasis on kavod in the house of Shaul, but here the Mefarshim point out it's clear that it was there. It's clear that it was there. Where else did Michal get it from? She got it from her upbringing. She got it from her father. She got it from his household. This is how they were brought up. The king carries himself in a certain way. And that's true. But there's a limit. But there is a time and a place for the king to lose himself, for the king to rejoice. And that's Lifnei Hashem. That's with the Aron. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vayaviu. Eis Esaron Hashem Vayatzigu Oso Bimkomo Besocha Ohel. So they bring the Aron Hashem, they place it in its place in the tent, Asher Natalo David, that David had erected this tent for the Aron. Vayal David Olos Lifnei Hashem Ushlamim, and David brings Karbanos, Olos, Shlamim, he brings all these Karbanos. Now, let's detour for a moment, and this is an interesting pasuk, and then we'll get back to the storyline of Michal and David. So here, he's taking the Aron and he's placing it in this tent, right, in Yerushalayim. Now, where's the Mishkan at this point? The Mishkan, the Radak points out, is in Givon. That's the place where the Mishkan is. The Mishkan was in Shiloh. The Mishkan is in Givon. Now, why didn't he bring the Mishkan? Why didn't he bring the Aron to the Mishkan? The Ohel Moed is there. Why not bring the Aron to the Mishkan? So the Radak says that he knew that the Mishkan would eventually come to Yerushalayim, and he knew that the Beis HaMikdash would be built in Yerushalayim. They had a Kabbalah, they had a Masorah, they had a tradition that the Beis HaMikdash would be in Yerushalayim. So although when they first came into Eretz Yisrael, it was in Givon, and it was in Shiloh, it was in all these different places, the Mishkan traveled around, but at the end of the day, they knew that the Mishkan would end up in Yerushalayim, and the Beis HaMikdash would be built in Yerushalayim. In fact, the Radak hints to us that we're going to see in a little bit that once the Aron is in Yerushalayim, David is now going to start thinking about the Beis HaMikdash. Once it's there, he's going to start thinking about the Beis HaMikdash. Now, it's interesting. He also points out that they did not know exactly where in Yerushalayim the Beis HaMikdash would be. Think about it. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah where the Beis HaMikdash is located. It doesn't say it anywhere, right? So it talks about the Mishkan, building the Mishkan. We don't know where the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be built. So how do they know that? So the answer is that they did not know that. They didn't know exactly where it was supposed to be built. We're going to learn a little bit later that David ends up building a Mizbeach with Gad HaNavi, and he builds this Mizbeach in the land of Goren Arona HaYavusi, which will, again, this is just a precursor to some of the things we'll learn about. And on that Mizbeach, a fire miraculously came down from heaven, consumed the Karbanos on the Mizbeach, and right away, everyone knew that this was the spot, and that was the Makom HaMikdash. That was the place where the Beis HaMikdash would eventually be built. And this also explains, says the Radak, why he put it in a tent. Because it could have been in a building. They had buildings back then. In fact, he says that Oved Edom had put it in a building. Others had put it in a building. So why is David putting it in a tent? Because he's showing that this is only temporary. We're going to build the Beis HaMikdash. This Aron is going to have a permanent home. But for right now, it just has to be in a tent because this is a temporary situation. He also interestingly says he's not sure which Aron this was. There might have been two Aronos at this time. Was it the Aron with the broken Luchos, the Aron with the intact Luchos? There's even an opinion that says the Aron had both Luchos in them, the intact Luchos and the broken Luchos. Okay, so that's something he mentions in passing. And the Malbim just points out at the end that David brings these Karbanos. This was because he was so caught up in the simcha and the joy of the return of the Aron that he wanted to bring these Karbanos himself. Think about it. He's not a Kohen. They had Kohanim at that time. He's not a Kohen. Right? So why is he the one bringing Karbanos? Why? How come the Kohanim are not bringing the Karbanos? Malbim says David was so caught up in the simcha, he wanted to bring the Karbanos himself to bring down the Shefa Ratzon of Hashem, to bring down this the will of Hashem, that Hashem should be happy and pleased with what they're doing. With what they've done, that they've brought back the Aron. Pasuk Yud Ches, Vayechal David The Healos, Ha'ola, V'Hashlamim. David now completes bringing these korbanos, the Ola and the Shlamim. Vayivarech es Ha'am b'Shem Hashem Tzevakos, and he blesses the nation with the name of Hashem. And again, says the Malbim, this is just the overflowing of spiritual joy that David's experiencing. He's bringing korbanos. He's now turning to the people and blessing them. And again, a blessing, as Chazal described to us, is really an overflowing. A person has no power to bless unless they are blessed. So David, experiencing all this spiritual ecstasy, it's just bubbling over. It's overflowing. And now he has the ability to bestow brachos on other people. And that's what he's doing. He's giving brachos to all of Klal Yisrael. And not just spiritual brachos, says the Malbim, but Pasuk Yud-Tes tells us that he gives them physical brachos. He gives them gifts. Pasuk Yud-Tes, Vayechalek l'chol ha'am, l'chol hamon Yisrael. He gives everyone, l'me'ish v'arisha, l'ish chalas lechem achas, he gives everyone a loaf of bread, v'ashpar echad, ashpar, the Mefarshim explain, is a certain portion of meat, maybe 1/6 of a cow. They used to cut up the cow into 6 parts, and 1/6 was called an ashpar. It's like sheish, right? Echad mi sheish mi par. So it's 1/6 of a par, v'ashisha achas, and one bottle of wine. This was like to-go packages, right? Literally, you know, everybody there at this they made like a big party. And, you know, everybody's dancing. They place the aron down, and now they start serving the food. And he's giving out, you know, big chunks of meat and bread and wine. And it's a beautiful, beautiful party. And it's not just, and it's everyone. The Malbim says, Vayechalek l'chol ha'am. The are the people that accompanied him to bring the aron in. And then it says, L'chol Hamon Yisrael, those are all the other Jews that they didn't maybe go out to bring the Aron in, but they met them up inside, you know, once they were in Yerushalayim, they came and met up with the party. And then not only that, L'me'ish V'Arisha, everyone around was getting these portions. Pasuk Chaf, Vayashav David Levarech Es Beiso, David now goes home. Some of the Mefarshim understand that he's just going to greet his family, you know, to say hello to them, to say Shalom Aleichem. You know, he's been out. He comes back home to say hi. The Malbim says that he's not just saying hi here. Levarich doesn't just mean to give them a Shalom Aleichem. Levarich means he just blessed the people. Because of this overflowing of spiritual ecstasy, he's now turning all that spiritual energy towards his family. And he's coming home and he's blessing his family. He's blessing his household. So Vayoshev David Levarich Es Beiso. And just imagine the scene, right? David is on such a high. You know, he just danced with all his might. He's so happy that the Aron is back, you know, blessing the nation, serving all this food. Everyone's in a good mood. Like you imagine, it's like Purim. You know, everybody's so happy and joyous and full of ecstasy. And then all of a sudden, Vateitse Michal Basho'u Likras David. Michal comes out of the house, right? So, you know, he's probably looking, you know, to share with her all the good news and hoping that she shares in the joy, Vatomer. And she looks at him and she says, Ma nichbad hayom melech Yisrael, in a sarcastic way. What honor has the king of Yisrael, accepted upon himself today? Asher nigla hayom le'enei amhos avonav. You revealed yourself today. You exposed yourself in front of the eyes of the wives of the servants, the maid servants, kihigolos niglos achar harekim, like a lowlife goes out and exposes himself. That's what you just did. Now you can imagine. When I was reading this pasuk to prepare it, I just imagined, you know, like a balloon deflating. You know, you have like David is so full of joy and so full of ecstasy and so full of bracha and, you know, brimming with simcha, and all of a sudden his wife comes out, Michal. Pop, you know, takes that needle and just pops the balloon, and just everything, just all the air just comes out of it. And she says, what's the matter with you? How do you act like that? You're acting like a simpleton. You're acting like a lowlife. That's not how a king acts. That's not what a king does. Some of the Mefarshim describe, you know, what's all this talk about exposing? So some say he was dancing barefoot. Some say that when he was dancing, you know, his robe was flying up. And, you know, people could see parts of his body, his legs maybe, or other parts of his body that were normally covered. It's unbecoming of a king. It's inappropriate. You don't reveal yourself like that. You don't expose yourself like that. You don't act like that in public. Sometimes a king has to appear. Okay, sometimes you have to mingle. You have to appear in front of everyone, but not like that. Not like that. And in fact, the Malbim, of course, picks up on the words Hayom. Right? She says to him, Manichbar Hayom, Melech Yisrael, Shenigla Hayom. What's the Hayom? So she said to him, listen, there are some kings that are always with the people. There are some kings that just, that's what they do. They always mingle with the people. Right? I don't know, on the news, you're watching, I'm sure, you know, Eric Adams, you know, he took the subway one day, he rode a city bike one day. You know, he's mingling with the people. So sometimes kings mingle with people. But that's not you, says Michal. You don't do that. You don't normally mingle with everyone else. Hayom, just today you're doing it. It's a very strange thing. And I get it. Sometimes the king has to appear in front of everyone. Avner died. You went out to console everyone. You're going out to war. The king goes out to rile up the troops. But today it's not necessary. You didn't have to do this. You could have kept yourself in an honorable way. You could have carried yourself in a regal way without doing what you did. Michal was essentially claiming that he lost the honor of the kingship. You acted in a dishonorable way, and you hung out with people that were, you know, weren't worthy of you. It's also, the Malbim points out that, you know, kings, part of the honor of a king is that, you know, not everyone could just go up and talk to the king. He has a specific audience. He has a specific chevra. I can't just walk over to the president, to the king, and just strike up a conversation. You know, he's inaccessible. He's in the ivory tower. That's what a king is supposed to be. Not the way you're acting. So here you have this dramatic moment. Now, how's David going to respond? So David is not, you know, is not insecure. David is very confident in his decision. He's confident about what he did. And he tells it to Michal. Vayomer David al Michal, lifnei Hashem, asher bachar bi me'avich, u'mikol beiso, letzavos osi nagir alam Hashem. I danced before God, who chose me over your father and over your father's entire house to lead this people, to lead his nation. Al Yisrael, v'sichakti lifnei Hashem. And I will, Mefarshim say, v'sichachti is the future tense. I will rejoice this way before the people, before Hashem. Meaning, I don't regret what I did. I believe this was the right thing. Now, you could just read the pasuk on a very simple level, and you know, David was just giving it to her. You know, like your father lost the melucha, and I'm now the king, right? So maybe he was just, you know, like she punched him, so he's punching her back. You know, figuratively, of course. But I don't think that's really the pshat here. Mefarshim explained that he was going deeper. He was saying that there was a problem with your father's kingdom. There was a problem with your father's house. In fact, the Medrash here in the Yalkut Shimoni says that, again, you know, she took him to task for what he was doing. And the Medrash says that part of David's response here, again, it's between the lines, but he says that your father's house, they were more worried about their own kavod than they were about Hashem's kavod. And if we think, by the way, about some of the mistakes that Shaul made, maybe some of those mistakes were because of this issue, right? Because sometimes Shaul was a little bit more worried about his own kavod and his own standing among the people than his relationship with Hashem. The ani, says David in the words of the Yalkut Shimoni, Eini osa kein ele meniach ani kavod atzmi, mevakesh es kavod shamayim. I'm doing the opposite. I'm lowering, minimizing my own honor, and I'm only focusing on the honor of Hashem. That's all I'm doing. I mean, just completely the opposite. And he said, you know, I see from your reaction that you're not one of the imahos, but you're really one of the amahos. And that's a play on the word that she used in the previous pasuk, that she said that you disgraced yourself in front of the amhos avodav, right? The wives, the maidservants of your servants. So he was kind of giving it to her in that way as well. Okay, so the Malbim points out here that what David also, the way he's framing it, is that you're too focused on the external signs of kavod, the external trappings of kavod. That's only if the king was elected. If the king was chosen by the people, he was elected. So then, because of his honor, that's what the people decided. They decided to elect him. They decided to choose him. So, okay, because of that, he's got to maintain a certain kavod, these external trappings. I was designated the king by Hashem. I wasn't chosen by the people. I was chosen by Hashem. If I'm chosen by Hashem, so then it's less to do with that and more to do with the internal kavod. Less the external kavod and more the internal kavod. And just like, he makes the analogy, just like a general can't demand more honor than the king, and just like a servant can't demand more honor than his master, so too I, although I'm a king, I can't demand more honor than the king of kings, than the one who I'm serving. Pasuk Chaf Beis, Unikalosi od mizos, and says David, I would do even more. Not just that I would do the same thing. I would do more. I would, quote unquote, disgrace myself even more for the honor of Hashem. V'hayisi shafal be'enai. I would be a nothing in my own eyes. V'im ha'amahos asher amart imam ikavda. And with those maidservants that you referenced, I will be honored by them. I will be honored by them. In fact, says Rashi, they don't think anything less of me now. All those people that you're talking about, the simple people, the maidservants that witnessed this, none of them think any less of me. In fact, they might even think more of me because of how I acted and how I danced and rejoiced, lifnei Hashem, and in honor of the Arun. The Radak says a very important point. He says that it's not a disgrace. To be lowly in the face of Hashem is an honor. It's not a disgrace. I'm honoring myself. I'm not disgracing myself. Your perspective is all skewed, Michal. Right? I'm honoring myself. That's what brings me honor. You know, it brought to mind a couple of analogies. I'll give you a simple one, and then a more fundamental one. But the simple one, you know, there's a halacha on Shabbos that you cannot clean a stain off of your clothing. If you have a piece of challah that falls on your suit, so you can scrape off the challah that's sitting on top of your suit. But if there's a stain that's, you know, that's like set into the clothing, you can't scrub it. You can't do that on Shabbos. So, what about Kavod Shabbos? Not Kavod Shabbos. I'm walking around with a suit with a stain. How is that Kavod Shabbos? And the answer is that itself is Kavod Shabbos. If I keep a stain on my suit, again, if you have a different suit to change into, beautiful. But if I don't have a different suit to change into, it's my only suit, and I have a stain on it, I can't clean it. That is Kavod Shabbos in itself, because that's what the Shabbos demands. That's what Hashem wants. That's what the Shabbos wants. That's what the Shabbos demands. When I'm doing what the Shabbos demands, that brings kavod, even though to the external eye, I'm wearing a suit that has a stain. That's not respectful. That's not bakavodik. No, that is. That's the ultimate kavod Shabbos. It's the same thing when you talk about chilul Hashem. So obviously certain things can be a chilul Hashem. But let's say, I'll give you an example. Let's say a person, you know, needs to put on tefillin. They put on tefillin in the airport, right? So people are looking at them. Would you call that a chilul Hashem? No, you look like you're doing something strange. I'm a Jew. I'm doing something strange. Is that a chilul Hashem? Chas v'sholom. That's not a chilul Hashem. If you're following Hashem's mitzvos, you're doing what Hashem told you to do. I'm not bothering anyone. I'm not doing anything, you know, just because it looks a little strange to other people. That's Hashem's will. That's Hashem's mitzvos. That's not a chilul Hashem. When I'm doing what Hashem wants. I'm bringing honor to Hashem. It might look strange, but I'm bringing honor to Hashem. And so often we know that when a person stands on principle, and when a person does things because he or she believes in it, that brings them more honor. That brings them more kavod and not less kavod. You know, I always tell my students, I tell my children this sometimes, I grew up the son of a rabbi. And, you know, sometimes you grew up the son of the rabbi. And, I wasn't always doing everything that all my friends were doing. It wasn't always the same type of thing. And sometimes there would be bar mitzvahs or bas mitzvahs. And they weren't celebrated exactly in the way that maybe I would celebrate mine, and I would go to, you know, to participate, but I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't dance if it was mixed dancing or whatever the case might be. I wouldn't do those kind of things. I would sit off to the side. You know, did I lose any respect by doing that? Never, not an iota. People would come and schmooze with me. People recognized, you know, he's not doing it because that's not what they do. So you don't lose respect by standing on principle, by doing the things that you're supposed to be doing, by focusing on the honor of Hashem and not your own honor. It brings you more kavod, if anything. It doesn't bring you less kavod. The Malbim also writes here that part of the message David was sending is that when you run after honor, and this we know from Chazal, right? Kol ha-boreach min ha-kavod, that if a person runs after honor, and we know sometimes we know people who try to get others to look highly of at them and try to get honor and prestige in the eyes of others. When a person runs after honor, very very often the honor runs in the other direction, and they're not really looked at in such an honorable and dignified way. They're looked at kind of askance. When a person runs away from the honor and just does the right thing, does the good thing, does the mitzvos, does what he's supposed to, or he or she is supposed to be doing, and doesn't focus on the cover, doesn't focus on the honor, those are the people that end up with the most honor. Those are the people that end up with the most respect. Why? Because people realize it's real. People realize it's there's a reason to honor this person. There's a reason to show this person cover. It's not they're not running after it. It's not that they want the cover. No, there's a reason to show them cover. It's real. And that's what David was saying as well. I'm not focusing on my own honor. So I'm not wearing the regal clothing. So I'm not, standing in a dignified manner the way that a king normally stands. That's fine. But I'm doing something real. I'm doing something important. I'm doing something that others understand. I'm doing something for Hashem that people recognize. And for that, they're going to honor me. For that, they're going to give me the kavod that I deserve. And then finally, a tragic end to the perek, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Ulamichal ba Shaul lo haya la yaled ad yom Mosa. That Michal ba Shaul did not have any other children until the day that she died. And Mefarshim say that we know she already had children. So this is not to say that she did not have any children. She did have children. And in fact, if you remember the earlier psukim that we read referred to her by a different name, the name Egla, referred to Michal ba Shaul. So she did have children already. However, she had no more children. After this incident, she had no more children. And the Mefarshim explained this was partially a punishment for her misplaced rebuke of David. And also, this was also a way for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to arrange that the house of Shaul would not have many more descendants, because that would just cause problems for David. And Hashem wanted to solidify the Malchus of David. So that was another, reason behind the Hashgacha of Hashem doing this. But in the end, as the Mefarshim said, this was really a punishment. Now it says Ad Yom Mosa. So the Radak quotes a Medrash that Ad Yom Mosa means until the day she died, which implies that on the day she died, she did have a child. And this was, so this is the Medrash that the Radak quotes, that she had one last child with David, and she gave birth the day she died. She actually died in childbirth, and she was one of the three women that we read about in Tanakh who died in childbirth. Number one was Rachel, who died while giving birth to Binyamin. Number two was Eli's daughter-in-law. If you remember the story of Eli, when Eli died and his sons died, and then she died, when she heard the news in childbirth. And Michal, this is the third woman, Michal ba Shaul, who also died in childbirth as well. But, I think the lasting lesson, this is a famous story, but the lasting lesson of the story is that our focus as Jews always has to be upwards, always has to be on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course, we have to carry ourselves, in a dignified manner, and we may not be the Melech Yisrael, but we're certainly B'nai Melachim and B'nos Melachim, and that's how we carry ourselves as Jews. But at the same time, we have to recognize that this is not about us. This is not about how we look. This is not about, how others perceive us, although we do have to take that into consideration. But at the end of the day, it's Lifnei Hashem. And that's why the Pasuk kept saying, Lifnei Hashem, Lifnei Hashem. That's what David was focused on. And when we have that focus and we act Lifnei Hashem, everything else works out. The honor will come, the dignity will come, and everything else will come in its proper time. Okay, thank you all for joining.